Lord, we come this morning to thank you for being ours. We are always amazed at your grace. It's an amazing thing that you've saved us. We are here worshiping you. And we remember when we weren't worshiping you, when we weren't following you, no telling where we would be apart from your grace. Father, you have protected us. You've watched over us. You've provided for every need we've had. You have always been with us. And help us to think about that when it comes to the future. You've told us you would never leave us or forsake us, that you'd go with us to the very end of the age. And we believe we're coming to that end. We just want to pray that you'd help us to be faithful, that we would be men and women of prayer. Your word says to watch and to pray, that we would not enter temptation. We recognize the Bible says, because iniquity abounds in the last days, the love of most will wax cold, will grow cold. We don't want to be lukewarm. We want to pray that you would just invigorate us and help us to keep a light touch on this world, to be careful where we go and what we see and what we do and the things that we input into our lives. Help us to input your word. Help us to feed on your word. Help us to walk in the Spirit and to trust in you and to just enjoy the fellowship and the communion of the saints and the believers gathering to worship the creator of the universe, the God that is always with us, who has all these things in your mighty hands that you're guiding and directing. Sometimes we wonder, are you still up there? But we know that you are, Lord, and you know exactly what you're doing, and we thank you for that. We just want to lift up again those that are traveling. We ask your blessing upon each one of them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me again welcome you. We appreciate you coming. I can't remember. I was trying to think the last time we had the 4th of July on a Sunday. I don't remember when that was. It's sort of strange, so. We're going to be in the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. If you need a Bible and don't have one, the usher will be glad to put one in your hands. You just hold your hand up until they get to you. Jim's just wanting somebody to give a Bible to, right, Jim? So, yeah. Chapter 14 of Romans. We're continuing our journey through the book of Romans. I want to, again, invite you, as I did last Sunday, to Wednesday night study. It's a great, I said it's like a big party. We have food and fellowship. It's a great time of fellowship and gathering together downstairs. We meet downstairs, so if you come up here, the doors will be locked. Kids meet up here, the little ones, but the youth are downstairs, and where the adults are in the fellowship hall. We're having a great time. Good food. Amazing food last week, so. I thought, then that'll get you. I'm going to come out and taste that, so. So we're in the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. Let's read verses 1 through 13. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be able to make to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and he gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but judge rather this, not to put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in our brother's way. Let's pray one more time. Lord, please bless your word. It's a long journey sometimes in this world. And we're reminded of the time when you gathered out in the wilderness with a lot of people, and the disciples said, send them on their way. And you said, it's a long journey. They're going to faint. The journey's too long. They don't have food. And so we come this morning and we lift up this message, these few fish and these tiny loaves of food, spiritual food, the Word of God, and we ask your blessing upon it. Multiply it, feed us, nourish us as we travel back to our homes. I pray for those that may be visiting here as they go back to wherever they're from, or those that are on the road this morning going to see family or friends or wherever they are. We ask your blessing, Lord, to strengthen us by your word, to help us to realize that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we need to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So we ask you to use this to strengthen us, encourage us, teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I mentioned in the last couple, 3 weeks, as we've been looking at this whole idea of the 12th chapter of Romans, I keep going back to that. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, and then from that point on, Paul's describing that, looking at that. We talked about already the gifts that God's given us, the different grace gifts, and how we're wired differently, how God created us differently. And now we come to this 14th chapter where Paul's referring to the idea of you know, realizing that God made everybody different. We are different individuals. We need to get along. God's brought people from all over the world, all different cultures and different backgrounds and all that. Here we are in one body. Jesus, the Bible says in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, has unified us in himself. I'm reminded of the prayer that he prayed, Father, I pray that they may be one even as we are one. And I want to again point out that is a fact. We are. The moment we accept Christ, God unifies us with every believer, whether we're alive or we're already gone. We're unified. We're in Christ, like every believer's in Christ. And yet we need to walk in that light. We need to walk in that truth. I've mentioned regarding relationships that we need to, there are times there are individuals who I would call them porcupines. They're the individuals that you sort of stay away from a little bit. They're in the body, but they're different. And so we all know porcupines. And so we encourage you to think about that. And this relationship or this idea is found in the Bible. And we're taught in the Bible that we're all different. We're created different. We have different gifts. And we can't say to the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Or the foot to the hand, I don't need you. We're part of the body of Christ. And so maybe this morning you are affected by it. The problem with porcupines, they don't know they're porcupines. And so they sometimes get in there and they mess around and they prick and they tell you what to do and how to do, and they are not aware of what they're doing. And so I think in some ways this passage deals with that. How do we deal? How do we get along with differences in the body of Christ? How do we get along with each other? How do we have that unity that God's given us? And we have to walk in the Spirit. And I want to point out what I've been doing the last few weeks, that it all goes back to that 12th chapter. As we give ourselves completely, we present our bodies a living sacrifice so that we might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so in this 14th chapter, Paul's really practically applying the gospel to walking in unity, walking in the Spirit, getting along with each other, realizing there are differences, being careful in a lot of ways that we're able to walk in love towards other believers particularly. We need to walk in love towards unbelievers, but particularly believers. So in this 14th chapter, Paul mentions that. So look, if you will, verses 1 through 4, receiving a weaker Christian. Here's what he says, receive one another who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Or another way to say that is unimportant things. Not arguing about, not getting disputes over things that are not essential. In other words, every person, every believer that's a true believer has to believe certain things. If, for instance, you cannot get to heaven if you reject Christ as God's Son. If you don't believe in the Trinity, I'm sorry, you're not going to get to heaven. The Bible is very clear about that. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. So every believer has these things that we believe or we would not be saved. But within the body of Christ, there's a lot of flavors. There's a lot of differences, a lot of opinions about things. And this idea of disputing matters or doubtful matters are related to things that are really not that important. They're things that are not essential. And so Paul's saying, don't get into these arguments. Don't try to get into these disputes with other believers over non-important issues that are really not that essential. In other words, that we need to, well, what is it that maintains unity? What is it that keeps us connected? It's Jesus. It's the basic truths of the Bible. And we need to major in the majors and minor in the minors. That's what he's saying in effect. To keep the main thing the main thing and not get into these arguments. However, I will say there are individuals who oftentimes focus on the minors. Or they can't discern between what a major thing is and what a minor thing is. And that sometimes, as I mentioned, porcupines are always trying to straighten everybody else out. Because they're focused on things that are not really essential. They think they're essential. In their opinion, they're essential. So the point is, this passage Remember, the Bible talks about the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, it divides, it separates. So in some ways, this passage is separating unimportant things to important things. Things that are essential, that we are believers, that we follow Christ, and those other things that are really not that important, that oftentimes people want to major in and get in arguments over. And it's really their opinion. They may not see it as their opinion. They may, well, God's told this to me, therefore he's got to tell everybody else. And that's sort of the idea, I think, in a porcupine, and I use that term, if you know what I mean, porcupine. Individuals that, you know, they're trying to get everybody to, you know, let me just say this. The goal that God has for you and I is to make us like Jesus. Sometimes the goal of a porcupine is to make you like them. Okay. And so that's what I mean by that. These individuals that sort of mess with us, or what, they're all around. They're, you know, you know what I'm talking about. And I say that carefully, not because they're individual people that I'm naming people, but the personalities. It's part of walking in love. We need to learn to love porcupines. As the same way you need to learn to love fuzzy, warm, fuzzy things, you know. We need to love everybody, right? So in verse 1, receive one who is weak in the faith. I want to point out, he's describing these individuals as weak in the faith. And part of this is a lack of maturity. Look in verse 2. For one believes that he may eat all things. One who is weak eats only vegetables. What's amazing to me, when you read what he's saying there, he's saying the person that's weak is oftentimes, in some ways, can be very legalistic. Okay? They don't see that as weak. They see that as spiritually mature. But what he's saying there is that there are these disputes. And he's saying in verse 2, one believes he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eats only vegetables. So there are differences. Some people are weak. They're struggle. Here's what I believe I should do. And again, the idea of eating certain things is not that big a deal. What does the Bible say regarding what it means to be saved? We're not saved. The Bible says the kingdom of God does not consist of eat meat and drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we need to remember that. But here's an individual who believes, I think it's God's will that I only eat vegetables. Because after all, if I'm a vegetarian, then I don't believe in killing animals. You know, and the idea is, okay, if that's what you don't believe, fine. I like it's 4th of July, we're barbecuing. But the point is, we need to make sure that we're aware that there's a lot of differences within the body of Christ. There's a lot of beliefs that people have for whatever reason that are non-essential. And that's what Paul's talking about here. How do we walk? As we present our bodies a living sacrifice, we want to know the will of God. Here's what God's will is for me when it comes to individuals who may not see things exactly the way I do, but who are believers, who agree with and believe in the basic essential doctrines and teachings of the Word of God. They're true believers. But we don't necessarily see eye to eye in certain things. That's what he's talking about. Look in verse 3. Let not him who eats despise him who eats not. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. I want to point out verse 3, the latter part of that verse. This is what's important. God has received him. And that ultimately is the only thing that's important. In other words, it's between him and Jesus, or her and Jesus. And that's sort of the theme of this passage. Paul later on says, who are you to judge another man's servant? We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of our lives. But Paul is saying there in that verse, the third verse, don't despise someone who doesn't necessarily toe the line of what you believe. I have certain personal preferences or personal things, personal convictions that I believe, that I don't shove down everybody else's, you know, idea of following Jesus. But I feel like this is the way that I want to follow the Lord. This is what I believe God's put in my heart for me. And part of being a mature believer is recognizing, here's what I believe in my life for me pleases the Lord. But God didn't necessarily say that to every single other believer. The idea sometimes in the porcupines is that if God's spoken to me about these things, then he must be telling everybody else. Or if they're not listening, then I got to tell them. And I've got to straighten them out. And that's where it gets to be a problematic. That's where it gets to be the conflict and the problems in the body of Christ. And Paul's trying to head that off. Him that is weak in the faith receive, but not to doubtful disputations or arguments. And so that's what the Bible is referring to here. Look in verse 4. He sort of culminates this passage. Who are you to judge another man's servant? In other words, you're not the Holy Spirit. What's amazing to me, oftentimes people that are in this kind of mode of trying to straighten everybody out do not recognize how immature it is. They don't see what they're doing. They think they're right. They think God spoke, and they're trying to straighten other people out or get other people to do what they believe God wants them to do. But what does he say in verse 4? Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he is able to make him stand, for God is able to make him stand. He's already said in verse 3, God has received him. And if God's received him, who are you to judge another man's servant and try to correct him? Let God do that. That's God's business. Now, if we're in a situation where God's called me to disciple somebody, and I do that voluntarily, I do that because there's times in my life, you know, two or three times a year, I'll take someone and I'll disciple them. Sometimes they'll ask me, would you spend time? Yes. In that case, I'll share what I believe or I'll share my heart. But I don't impose things. I don't try to force people to toe the line of what I believe in those non-essential areas. Now, please understand, we never compromise the essentials. We never back down when it comes to the basics of what it means to be a Christian, which, by the way, is definitely under attack today. Today, a Christian is anyone who believes anything. That is not what the Bible teaches. There are specific things that the Bible says in order to be a true follower of Christ. We never back down. We are to make sure, we are to hold each other accountable to those things. But within that framework, there's a lot of variation. So who am I to judge another man's servant? Well, whose servant is this person? This is God's servant. This individual belongs to Jesus. He's been bought with the blood of Christ. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the judge of all matters. I'm not the judge of every believer. I'm here following Christ. And there's times that God's given us an opportunity. In my life, I've got an opportunity to come and teach and preach the word. And I've got to be very careful sometimes that I don't bring in my opinions or what I would think. There's times I'll share that. Here's what I think. Here's my opinion about it. But I can't help it if you don't agree with that and you're wrong. But no, I'm just kidding you. And we have to be careful because we have to know that God's going to deal with individual believers. And this is so essential. This is part of maturity. I realize that this person belongs to Jesus. And no matter what they do, the decisions that they make, whether right or wrong, there are times that you have to go and share and talk to a person. There are times the Holy Spirit leads us in basic things to tell them, look, here's what the Bible says. We always point to the Word. But we do that because we're prompted. The Holy Spirit prompts us to do that. And we're very careful. We just lay out what the Bible says, the Scriptures. We bring the Word to them. And they're basically essential things. But when it comes to those other preferences or ideas, we stay away from that. We lay back. That's not our business. And this is the point that Paul's making. This is the context of our study here. Here's how we walk in unity. We're careful. And so he's saying that in this fourth verse. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. God is the one who's ultimately the judge. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Go to your right. To 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. My wife encouraged me last week. Mark, you need to put the scripture verses up on the screen. Okay, yes, dear. Now I'm thinking, was that a preference or is that a... No, just kidding you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look in verses 3 and 4. Look what Paul says. This is very important when it comes to, let's suppose you have a porcupine in your life. Okay, you are being visited by a porcupine who's trying to sort of take control and tell you how you're supposed to do everything and trying to make you do things. Here's what the Bible says. Look in verse 3. With me is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I like that. Look in verse 4, for I know of nothing against myself. In other words, I don't know of anything I'm doing wrong, yet I am not justified by this. That doesn't mean I'm right. But he who judges me is the Lord. Look what Paul's saying. It's a very small thing that you judge me. If you want to judge, that's fine. If you want to condemn or criticize, who cares? So the way that I deal with porcupines, I ignore them. I just ignore them. Because ultimately, God's the judge. I stand before the Lord, and he's the one. I don't even judge myself, Paul said. Because I may think I'm right, but I'm wrong. That's what Paul's saying there. I'm not going to judge myself. God's going to ultimately judge. But the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but it is in death. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, says in Proverbs. But the Lord judges the spirit. So I believe I'm following Christ. I believe I'm doing what's right. As far as I know, there's nothing that I'm doing wrong spiritually. And yet, ultimately, God's the one who's going to decide that. And there's times in my life and in your life where we may not see clearly. We may think we're okay, but we're not. And Paul realizes that. Paul realizes that there's times in his life where he makes a decision, goes a certain direction, and he may not be right. So he's very careful even in his judging himself, saying, I'm right. Because the Lord is ultimately the one that's going to do that. That's what he's meaning. The same kind of idea that we find in this 14th chapter of Romans. Turn back there if you will. Look in verses 5 through 9. Not every believer sees things the same. Verse 5 says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. People, you know, in our family, you know, growing up, you know, to me, birthdays were, you know, no big deal. I mean, really, I always felt that way. I remember having one birthday party. I remember the best, this just sounds strange to you, you're going to laugh at this. The funnest birthday I ever had was on my 16th birthday. The 16th birthday, if you young people know, is a very important birthday. It's when you get your driver's license. Well, it's on my 16th birthday. It's time for, you know, I had my learners for a year. I come in there in the kitchen in the morning. My mom always, she never washed dishes at night. She always washed them in the morning. That was her habit. She felt, I've been cooking. I don't want to. So every morning, mom's in there washing dishes. So I go in there on my the day after. No one said a word to me on my birthday. No one said one word. And I'm as it getting toward like 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock, I'm hoping that nobody says anything. And no one said a single word about my birthday. So they totally forgot about it. On the day after my 16th birthday, I walk in the kitchen. And I say, Mom, I want to get my driver's license. And she said, well, you got to wait for your birthday. I said, Mom, my birthday was yesterday. And I brought that up years later. And every time I brought it, my mom would just start crying. She felt terrible. But I was like, yes, it was so exciting to me. It was so funny to me. Because, you know, to me, you know, that's my how. Now, some people's like, that's a huge event. In our family, people do things differently. My wife looks at days different than I do. So I need to dwell with my wife according to knowledge, giving honor to the weaker vessel as being heirs together of the grace of life, that my prayers will not be hindered. Okay. I don't do it quite the way she does it. But I'm saying there's differences. And Paul's saying that. One man esteems one day above another. Another man esteems every day the same. People look at things differently. They value certain things, certain ways. That's what he's saying there. There's differences. Look in verse 6, if you will. He says, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, or he gives God thanks. He who does not eat, to the Lord, he does not eat, and he gives God thanks. In other words, what he's saying there, the person that observes the day observes it believing that's what God wants. It honors the Lord. But the one who doesn't observe the day also does that because they believe it's no big deal. It's just another day. That's what he's saying there. Look what he says again in that verse. Verse 6. He who observes the day, he observes to the Lord. He believes this is God's will, that it's important. For instance, birthdays. It's a time of celebration. But he who does not observe it, to the Lord he does not observe it. To me, it's like, no big deal. It just depends on, but everybody's doing it because they believe that it honors the Lord. That's the point he's making here. To the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. He believes that God's given him liberty, eats whatever he wants. And he gives God thanks. He who does not eat, for instance, the one who eats vegetables, to the Lord he does not. He believes that's God's will for his life. And he gives God thanks. He thanks God for the vegetables, the spinach and the broccoli and all that kind of stuff. Although I like all that stuff. So my point in all that he's talking about these differences in the body of Christ. God made us all different. And he's talking about this whole idea that a person individually makes a response. They do what they believe is right. And there are differences. We have to understand that. That's where the problem lies. Oh, you're different than me? Then I've got to straighten you out and correct you. Because you're not seeing things clearly. Or I hear what you're saying, but let me tell you the truth about this. So all of a sudden I become a porcupine that's just sticking you with my quills, trying to straighten you out. That's where the problem comes. Instead of who are you to judge? Just let God work. It's not important. These aren't essential things. If you observe a certain day more than others and someone decides not to observe, that's no big deal. It's not going to determine whether you go to heaven or hell. It's not essential regarding your salvation. It's just a preference. It's the thing that you do. But all of us do it because we believe God wants us to, because in our mind, that's serving the Lord. And it's just the way people are wired. It goes back to the gifts in the 12th chapter of Romans. We're wired differently. We think differently. We see things differently. That there's variety in the body of Christ. We're not robots. We're not clones. We don't need to be conformed. We need to be transformed. And the Holy Spirit does that as he works in each person's life. Look in verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and nobody dies to themselves. For if we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. In other words, we all belong to Jesus. If I make a decision, I do it out of respect to the Lord, what I believe God wants me to do. Or there's things in my life that God really doesn't care. What I mean by that is there are certain things that I look at and think, well, I don't think the Lord really cares. If that's what you want to do, fine. No big deal. The Bible doesn't talk about it. The Bible doesn't bring it out. The Bible doesn't focus on it. Therefore, do what you want. Do what you think's right. Or another way to say that is walk out your own conscience. In other words, to him who believes he's doing wrong, to him it's wrong. Whatever's not of faith is sin. If your conscience convicts you, don't do it. And I've said before, you should never pressure anybody to do something that their conscience is not clear about. Ever. And I see this happen oftentimes in marriages. And we need to walk with a clear conscience. Let your conscience, the Holy Spirit. Now, our conscience is not perfect. Right? That's what Paul says when he says, look, even though I feel like there's nothing I'm doing wrong, God's going to ultimately judge. You know, the Bible says if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and God knows all things. Meaning simply there's times that my conscience condemns me, but God doesn't. So we have to understand there are variations and there's differences and there's opinions in the body of Christ. And we just need to walk at our conscience. And look, if you want to do that, go for it. If you want to believe that or celebrate or not celebrate, go for it. Nothing wrong with that. I think about the holidays like Halloween or Christmas. And I think about people's views of that. And they're different. And we need to understand that. And let the Lord work in each person. Just let God work. It's a matter of opinions. The main thing in these verses is our relationship with Christ. Look in verse 9. For to this end that Christ died and rose again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. The big thing is Jesus here. The thing is this person following Christ? Is this person doing what they're doing, believing that in God's eyes they're fine? Or as Paul said, who are you to judge another man's servant? What does God think about this? That's a great question to ask. Or if someone tries to porcupine you, that's a new term, porcupine, I like that. If someone tries to porcupine you, go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you think? Because Lord, ultimately I stand before you, and the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or has no one, no man, Lord, then go. My point in all that, there's times in our life where the Lord's fine with us, but another believer isn't. How do I resolve that? I basically ignore the porcupine, I go to the Lord. I follow Jesus. I say, Lord, what do you think? But I need to be open to that. If a porcupine's porcupining me, then I need to go and say, Lord, is there a problem here? Is there something I'm doing wrong? I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be in agreement with you. I want to do what you want me to do. But ultimately, you're my judge, so you tell me, you communicate, you let me know what you want. so that I can know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Lord is. And there's many times the Lord says, Mark, you're fine with me. And it gives me freedom and liberty. I walk in relation with Jesus. Now, please understand when I'm saying this, but you're not my master and Lord. Jesus is. I don't want to be controlled. I want to be led by the Spirit, not pressured by other believers into doing things that I don't necessarily agree with. But I want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you think? And there are people who have very strong convictions about things. And look, that's great. If that's what you believe, go for it. But be careful. I don't want to try to impose that on other people. It's about relationship with Jesus is the key. Not every believer sees the same thing. Look in verses 10 through 13. The Lord's going to judge every person. Verse 10, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, every one of us. And so Paul is referring to the attitudes that you have. You're looking down upon someone else. And I think sometimes there's this despising. That's why I believe there are times there are people that are porcupines that don't see their problem. They have an area of pride or arrogance. They're self-righteous. They believe they're there to straighten everybody else out. You just sort of ignore them, you know. The Bible says, correct a proud man and you'll smart for it. You know, sometimes when you try to correct a proud person, they don't see with their problem anyway. It just creates, just let the Holy Spirit deal with them. And just follow Jesus. Just do what the Lord's telling you to do. So what is he saying here in verse 10? Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? Don't show contempt for anybody. Just recognize, here's a person who may think they know everything, but it's just a sign of immaturity. Just a sign of immaturity. And it says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as it's written, verse 11, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. That's ultimately the judge, the one that I'm going to stand before and give an account of myself to. And all of us need to keep that in mind. I always need to remember, I serve the Lord. I serve the Lord Jesus. I'm going to stand before God one day and give an account of my life. And Jesus said, every idle word that men speak, they'll give an account of the day of judgment. There's a judgment seat of Christ. And every believer is going to stand there and one day give an account. And so I need to remember that as a believer, saying that my life and what I do, the decisions I make, make a difference in eternity. If I don't think about that, if I don't relate to that, if I don't remember that, I get slack, I get lazy, I get apathetic, I get casual, and I just forget what I'm supposed to be doing. But if I'm always aware that Jesus is watching me, he's looking at me, and I want to honor him and glorify him and do his will, I want to gather, that's why we gather here, to hear, what is his will? What is his thoughts? Do I have an attitude? Or am I a porcupine? Am I stepping into someone's life who's not invited me to and trying to straighten them out because I don't necessarily agree with their decisions? Let the Lord deal with that. If they're believers, the Holy Spirit's going to deal with them. You know, one of the comforting things is the Holy Spirit lives in every Christian. You ever thought about that? So if I'm not the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is living in the life of every believer. If I'm not there all the time like the Holy Spirit is, then he's going to deal with that person. We are his workmanship. He's the potter. We're just the clay. You know, he bought us with his own blood. No one has more invested in you than Jesus does. I think about that at the church. No one has more invested in the church than Jesus. We are his. We've been purchased by his own blood. And he loves every one of us. And the Holy Spirit lives in every Christian. And the Holy Spirit's desire, the plan of God in the 8th chapter of Romans, is to make me like Jesus. And that means oftentimes different paths and different roads and different scenarios and different environments and different trials. We all have different places we go. There are things that happen to me that don't happen to you. Why? Because I believe the Lord in his mercy designed all this. Life is designed by him to know him. And just because I have this experience or I've learned something or have a conviction that's non-essential, that doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to have that. Or, here's another thing, maybe one day you will have that conviction. What I've seen is believers that have been believers for 20, 30 years, it took them 20 to 30 years to get where they are, and all of a sudden they're trying to tell everybody else how to do everything. And they're not patient with anybody. They don't just let the Lord work. God's going to work. There's a judgment seat of Christ. We have to remember that. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians again, chapter 3. Paul mentions this judgment seat of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1. I'll read these very quickly. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 17. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as to spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and not with solid food, for until now you're not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal, for where is there among you envy and strife and divisions among you? Are you not carnal and behaving like men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Apollos, and who is, Paul, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither he who plants is anything, or he who waters is anything, but God, who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one," meaning God uses people to come preach the gospel, God uses others to reap that. "And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." Look what he says in verse 9. "We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. You are God's, not Paul's or Apollos." Verse 10, "According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and other builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay except what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it." There's a day that God's going to judge. "Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is by fire." That's the judgment seat of Christ. Every believer is going to get there, but sometimes our works will get burned up. Verse 16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, whose temple you are." In other words, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There are believers who are carnal and worldly. They waste their lives, I think, spiritually speaking. They're saved, but they're not dedicated their life to Him. They're not giving their time and energy and effort to the Lord. And they're building on the foundation of Christ, wood, hay, and stubble. And in the judgment seat of Christ, that wood, hay, and stubble will get burned up. They're wasting all that energy and effort. But there are others who are building on that foundation, gold and silver and precious stones. They're following Christ. They're doing what God wants them to do. Or, of course, like all of us, there's times we build with wood and hay and stubble. Other times we build with gold. There's times we do certain things, and in that doing of the certain thing, there may be both gold and silver and precious stones and wood, hay, and stubble. Therefore, when the fire comes, it will just burn away all the chaff, and God's going to refine that and bring out the gold in it. But ultimately, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what Paul's saying there. Don't be the Holy Spirit. Don't try to correct everybody else. Don't get along. Love it. Realize there are differences. People serve the Lord differently. I know in my life when I got saved, I got up early in the morning. I still get up early every morning. You know, I read my Bible. I put my coffee on. I read my Bible. Spend time with Jesus. You know, that's just my pattern. That's my preference. That's what I do. It's how I do it. There are other ways to do it. You know, the important thing is that you follow the Lord and do what He wants you to do, however you want to do it. There's times that people don't like coffee. I can't believe that. I want to straighten them out and tell them, what's wrong with you? But I don't. Keep my mouth shut. Just kidding you. We just need to realize that there's differences in the body of Christ. And we need to make sure that we let the Holy Spirit do His work in the lives and hearts of every person. You're not the Holy Spirit. God will deal with His people. Who are you to judge another man's servant? So he says in verse 12 of our study here, Romans chapter 14, verse 12, "So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God." Now verse 13 is the key. My wife asked me this morning, what is the main verse in the passage? And I said, verse 13. Here's the main verse. "Therefore," or in conclusion of what I just said, Let us not judge one another anymore, but judge rather this." Here's how to judge. "Not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in my brother's way." So here's how I judge. I don't judge you, I judge myself. And I say to myself, is what I'm doing, is what I'm allowing, is it causing another brother or sister to turn from Christ? They may not agree with me. But is it causing them to reject Jesus, causing them to stumble into sin? What did Jesus say? It had been better for you never to have born than to cause one of these little ones that believe in me to stumble. It'd be better for you to have a millstone on your neck and thrown into the sea, to be drowned. So God sees you or me causing another believer to turn from the Lord because of whatever we're doing. So I judge that. And there's so many things that I allow or I do that is not causing people to turn from Jesus. And so there may be differences. You may not agree with it necessarily. But I have a clear conscience and I believe it's okay with the Lord. The ultimate thing is that I try to please the Lord in everything that I do. I take it to Jesus. And so Paul is referring to this unity and oneness, this relationship. Let me just say this in regards to this. We're going to share communion in a moment. And one of the things Paul says when he talks about communion is about those who did not discern the Lord's body. And because of that, he said, many are weak and sickly among you, and some have even perished and gone on, because they did not discern the Lord's body. He's not referring there about Jesus when he said the Lord's body. The body he's referring to there is the body of believers. We need to discern the body of Christ. We need to recognize that you're a believer, I'm a believer. The Holy Spirit lives in you, lives in me. I'm going to follow Christ the way I believe God wants me to follow the Lord. If there are essential things or important things, I'm going to come talk to you. I have responsibility before the Lord to come to you. If I believe that you're wandering from Christ or you're doing things that are wrong and sinning, clearly defying or breaking the scripture, to come and confront you in love. But before I do that, I make sure there's not a beam in my own eye. Before you go try to pull out the mote of your brother's eye, make sure there's nothing in your own eye. Make sure your heart's right. And it's best you know you're walking in the Spirit. And then you go and you speak in love. But there are so many non-essential things that you may think are important. If it's important to you, go for it. Praise the Lord. But it may not be important to me. And you have to accept that as maybe the Holy Spirit's guiding me different. Or maybe I'm not there yet. Maybe down the road I will come to that place where that is important to me. But it's not now. And you've got to let that go. Let it alone. Let the Lord deal with it. You know, it's so freeing to let go and let God. When you're trying to straighten somebody out, it is so frustrating. Believe me, I have tried that. Still try that. You know, try to straighten people. It's so relaxing. Lord, I'll let you deal with it. Somebody asked me recently about something. I said, you know, look, I just gave that to God. Let them handle it. It's his problem, not mine. But I mean that. It is so frustrating trying to get people to agree with you. Here's the deal. Sometimes we're not sure about what we believe. I'll just throw this little caveat in this. Sometimes when people aren't sure, they try to make everybody else toe the line. That's the problem with legalism. What is legalism? Well, the legalism is I have this outward standard of things that I look at that if you're not doing these things, then I can say you're not following Christ. So it makes me feel spiritual, makes me feel good. Or a porcupine feels really important because they're coming to straighten you out and tell you how to live and what you're supposed to be doing. And it makes them feel very important. Sometimes they run other things down. They criticize everybody else. It makes them feel good. But the Bible says in Ephesians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearers. Don't let anything negative come out of your mouth. But a porcupine is going to be critical, judgmental, try to straighten everybody else out. Everybody's doing it wrong. Or here's my opinion, and I'm right here. And they can't let go of it. But I, as a Christian, need to let go of them and let God deal with their hearts. And God will. It's so freeing. We're going to share communion this morning, and I want to encourage you to remember the body of Christ, to discern the Lord's body. If you feel like that you've been imposing or trying to force someone, let go of that. I know as a parent, there comes a place in my life over the years when my kids have grown up, I just got to let the Lord deal with them. And what I do is resort to prayer and just pray. Prayer is important. Prayer, God can work in prayer. God can do things in prayer. I remember years ago, we set aside 14 years ago. We set aside Mondays to fast and pray. And we started that because of our kids. We wanted to pray for them every Monday. And we set aside a day of prayer and fasting. It's 14 years later, we still do that. It's been a habit. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. That's a preference. That's what we've done. And I'm just saying that only in light of, I want to discern, we need to discern the Lord's body, that God does things differently in different people. But let's look at what the scriptures say and what does the Bible teach us? And minor on the minors, and or major in the majors and minor in the minors. Let me just mention about communion. There's a table over here that has the wafers that are gluten-free. We're sort of low on that. We were just serving that, but we're low. And we have to wait till October. They're back ordered till October, which... Now, I understand COVID got a lot of supply problems, but this is ridiculous. You know? But anyway, we got regular communion. So if you don't need the gluten-free, don't go over here, okay, if you don't mind. Here's these tables. And rather than pass the elements, we're going to ask you to stand and come up front, get them, and go back to your seat, and we'll all share them together. There's a cup inside of a cup because one has the bread, one has the wine in it or the grape juice. And let me encourage you to remember that. It's there. You don't have to try to, where's the wafer at? It's underneath. And so just take that, go back to your seat, and we'll share together. So let's all stand. Let's pray first. Lord, this morning, as you admonish us in the scriptures to discern the Lord's body, and I think about our study this morning, how we need to discern the Lord's body, that these are believers that Jesus died for and gave his life for. I've got to be careful how I relate to them. I need to love them, accept them. They're accepted in the beloved, the Bible says. You have received them. We saw that in that verse, fifth verse, I believe, of Romans. And I pray that you would help us, Rose. If you've received them, who are we not to? Help us to love people. Help us to recognize differences. Help us not to try to impose our differences on other people, but rather to judge this, rather that I don't put an occasion to fall or a stumbling block in front of anybody else, that I need to make sure that what I do, that I feel like I have the liberty to, if something that I'm doing is causing a brother or sister to turn from the Lord, then I need to stop it. Paul the Apostle said, I won't even eat meat while the world exists if it causes someone to stumble and turn from Christ. So I want to pray this morning that we would understand the differences and the important things. I want to thank you for the love you've given us, for the unity you've given us in this church. I want to pray that you'd help us to discern the Lord's body. Help us remember there are numerous people that are traveling this weekend for the holidays or out, and we need to pray for them. I pray about those on the prayer chain. Thank you for the, I think it's about 70 people on our prayer chain. I thank you for those that are volunteered to pray and to discern the Lord's body as far as just intercessory prayer and crying out to the Lord for their needs as we send these things out two or three times a week. There'll be a prayer need. I want to thank you for establishing that. I thank you for Susan's desire to have that part of our church and how you've used it in so many ways. And the answer, there's so many answers to prayer. So we want to discern the Lord's body this morning. And if we're being a porcupine, help us to stop it. Help us to back up and let you. Help us to let go of things. And we don't own that person. The Holy Spirit is living inside that person. And I pray. And then when it comes to being a parent, we have responsibilities. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. So we have a responsibility to step in there and to say and to give counsel. And that firm counsel, but as they get older, to sort of back up some and give them some space. May we have discernment and wisdom with that. And I just pray that you'd help us to remember the suffering of Jesus. In Christ's name I pray.